Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Say, blessed are your ears, because you hear these things. That's what Jesus said. He said that when we hear and we receive of the word of life, he said we are blessed. Praise God. So you need to understand how this thing works. You see, these things, the scripture says, that the prophets of old, they sought to look into, they researched. These things, they try to find out, peradventure, what is God trying to reveal to man. But they were only given entrance, permission to see in bits. But we are that generation that the Lord has commanded these last day manifestations of the Spirit. We are not just carriers of prophecies. We are fulfillers of prophecy. You are a fulfiller of prophecy. Your life is very significant. Your life is part of one big, huge story. You are not just speaking about those things. I mean, Isaiah will prophesy, and he will speak about things to come. But how many of you know that as powerful as Isaiah was, he did not see the manifestation of most of the things that he prophesied about? Isaiah was not able to partake in reality with the things that he prophesied about. So Isaiah would have died thinking that he got it wrong. Isaiah would have died thinking that maybe a bulk of his prophecies were wrong. Just the way, same way many are receiving prophetic words today, God is speaking to people, but many don't know how to interact with these words. And if you receive a word from the Lord, and you don't know how to interact with it, you are not really better than somebody who didn't receive anything. And that's why we gather at the feet of the Lord. Because when we gather, every time we gather, we are being chained. The scripture says every time we behold him, it says we are being chained from glory to glory. Hallelujah. It says we are being chained from glory to glory. We are being chained. That means that the glory of the Lord is being imparted to us in faces. Oh my God, every time I look into the mirror of God's word and I find life, what the word of God says is that I am changing. Now, whether you see it physically or not is not the issue. I'm speaking of divine perspectives. And you see, the way we engage with the word of God, for instance, when God's word says that as we behold through the glass, we are being changed from one level of glory to another. So I believe it. The moment I believe it in my heart, I have jump-started, I've kick-started that reality. Which means that I will never be in the same level. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I wish somebody heard that one. I will never be in the same level the level I was in yesterday, I will never be at the same level. Because it's an ever-increasing glory. Hallelujah. It's an ever-increasing glory. This is the mind of God. This is the reality of the Spirit. Not for us to live as though we are slaves. We have been set free by the word of God. We have been tutored by the word of God. We have been discipled by the word of God. We have been mentored by the word of God. We have been released by the word of God. We are children of the word of God. Scripture says we are born by the spoken word. Hallelujah. That means that for the word of God to have effect in our spirits, in our soul, in our life, for the word of God to gain ascendancy over every minus and every negative in our life, then the word has to be spoken. Because the word of God says we are born by the spoken word. That means it was when God spoke that we were born. It was when we received the word of God in our spirit that we believed and we became born again. Hallelujah. Satan cannot be born again. Satan cannot be saved. And you have a supernatural advantage at every level over him. He is a weak person. If you look at what is going on in the world today, you may not be able to fully appreciate that weakness. But when you look in the spirit, Just the same way we are gravitating from glory into higher levels of glory, because no two levels of glory are the same. Every glory you experience tomorrow will be higher than the previous one. The same way Satan or Lucifer is not at the same level. He keeps depreciating every day. He is not the same all-powerful Satan. He's losing steam, he's losing strength, and he makes up for it by deception. He makes up for it by wiles and tricks. Oh my God, I wish somebody heard that one. So when you are dealing with Satan, don't be so much concerned about his power as much as you'll be concerned by his ability to deceive. He draws his greatest power from the ability to deceive. And you find this deception everywhere. You find it on social media. You find it in the newspaper. You find it in the air. You find it when you talk to people. You find it even people you think who are saved, who are believers, who should believe like you. But they begin to exhibit certain traits that are not in alignment with the requirement of Scripture, with the requirement of the Lord. Hallelujah. This message, praise God, has been titled Overcoming the Darkness of This World. Overcoming the darkness of this world. Praise God. Overcoming the darkness of this world. You will never be able to see or benefit from spiritual things if you make decisions or judgments based on what two eyes can see. There are many things that pertain to this world that are not physical. This earth realm is just where divine mandate or spiritual mandates are executed. Anything you find that is happening right here on earth, they speak of things that have been decided in the spirit realm. What does that tell me? What that tells me is that through the instrument of prayer, through the instrument of the spoken word, and my obedience to God, I can transact in the spirit realm to change my life. Hallelujah. Come on, if you head down, say, I hear you. Look, it's through the instrument of prayer and through the instrument of the spoken word. The spoken word there, I'm speaking about the rhema. I'm speaking about that which God lays upon your heart. If the Lord begins to say to you, my daughter, I want you to wait upon me from 11 p.m. tonight to 12 for the next 3 days. It is because there are transactions going on in the spirit that you will not be able to overcome. You will not be able to gain advantage or ascendancy over if you are sleeping. So God's word comes to you. It is impressed in your mind. And somewhere in your mind just say, oh, maybe it's my mind. I'm just thinking something. The moment you violate that scripture, the moment you violate that instruction, you begin to slip into darkness. Every instruction that God gives to us is to bring us into the light, to bring us further into the light, to bring us further into the realm of God. Hallelujah. The scripture says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, that we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus will begin to cleanse us from all our faults. What that means in the book of 1 John is that when we operate in the realm of light, when we operate in the realm of knowledge, when we operate in the realm of revelation, when we operate from a dimension where not only do we hear God's word, but we interact with it to the point that we believe it to a fault. Even when every sign and even when everything we see seems to be on the contrary, we place God's word above every other reality. Now, this is not a one-day thing. Because you will have to get to that place in your life where you just conclude, look, I cannot live my life based on what others are doing. As a believer, you want to maybe put in for a program, put in for a course, do this. You know, you want to get married, you want to relocate abroad. Have you bothered to ask the Lord? Have you bothered to ask the Lord, this thing I am about to do? I notice that believers get sentimental when they're about to make a personal life-defining decisions. It is fine when we are talking about other people. It's fine when we are trying to deal with whether I should eat or not eat. But when you're about to make a life-defining decision, like who do I get married to? When you're about to make a life-defining decision about should I leave the country or not? Or you're about to make a life-defining decision, should I put my money in this business or not? Then believers now realize, many believers realize that they actually don't have the capacity to hear God. Because one of the things that dampens your ability to hear God is when you are extremely emotional The moment you become extremely emotional about anything, you have reduced your capacity to hear God, to hearing God by over 100%. Because every other decision you are going to make will become subjective. They become subjective. If you feel like, okay, let's try it. You begin to hear people say, oh, let's see how it goes. People now want to see how it goes. They hope they are right. The issue of overcoming the darkness of this world cannot be a reality in the life of any believer, even if you're a pastor, except you elevate the authority of God's word. You elevate it so high. You elevate the word of God so high. Above every other consideration, this is the place that many believers have not been able to get to. This is the place that Satan keeps many people from by telling them to embrace that which two eyes can see. By telling them that they have to face the fact, listen to me, you may be doing something that may look like you're a fool today. But if you did that, if you took that decision or did that particular thing, because you received a word from the Lord in your heart, God will honor it. In fact, let me dare tell you that there are certain things you may even do. Please hear me with your spirit. That there are certain things you may even do, not because you were very sure, you were too sure about God, but you believed in your heart that God was leading you. The Lord will honor that faith and then make provision for the differential in your error, in your error rate. Let me repeat what I said. I said, listen, there was a time, in scripture, the Lord told Abraham, leave your father's house and go to a land I will show you. In between that particular instruction and getting to Canaan, Abraham decided to stop over at Egypt. The scripture says, and Abraham went down to Egypt. Abraham went down to Egypt. Egypt was not part of the conversation. Egypt was not part of what the Lord said to him. But he found himself in Egypt. Praise God. He found himself in Egypt. Now, God could have abandoned him there. And very well so. But God will not do such a thing. Why? Because the Lord has never asked us to seek him in vain. I'm trying to tell you from scripture that even when you think you have made a mistake, and you made that mistake because you sincerely thought that the Lord was leading you, the Lord will make provision by his grace or by his mercy for that error and lead you back. You may lose some time, but he will restore you. That is a better person compared to the one who is born again, washed by the blood of Jesus, but lives a carnal life. I don't know if anybody is hearing me tonight, because I need us to understand that the desire of God for us is to live the supernatural life on earth. It is his desire, it is his will for us to live the supernatural life on earth. And until God raises a generation that would live on earth the way Jesus lives, he will not come back for the church. Let me repeat. Until God finds on the earth a breed of sons. Because Romans says that God, the creature, is earnestly. That means that the word, the creation, the creature, not just speaking of men, speaking of plant life, speaking on animal life, speaking on air life, speaking on everything that suffered as a result of Adam's error, as a result of Adam's sin. The scripture said creation is groaning. Even the lions wants to be set free. Even the tiger wants to be set free. Even the grasses that wither, they don't want to wither anymore. They want to prosper. They want to blossom. The flowers want to blossom forever. There are things you see in nature and you say, oh, these things are earthly reality. They are not earthly reality. They are things that are suffering because of the error of man. So they are groaning. Every time you see the flower withering, every time you see the grasses fading off, they are withering and saying, when are the sons of God going to arise and restore us? It was a son that brought this upon us. A son will restore us. Every time you see things not working around you and it seems that there is an error in destiny, God wants you to know that there are certain things that will not be restored until the sons are released. And for the sons to be released, they must overcome the darkness. They must overcome ignorance. They must overcome the things that offend. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh my God. This is powerful stuff. I wish somebody would really just open his heart and receive this word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. The word of God says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh this world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now look at that scripture. That scripture did not say, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. It says, whatsoever is born of God. Listen to me. The issue of sonship is not a matter of gender. Male and female, as far as God is concerned, is gender. Sonship is not gender, it's status. Oh my God. I wish somebody heard that one now. Oh my God. If you heard me, just type something. Listen. I got to say this again. You see, male, female, boy, girl, as far as God is concerned, is gender. Sonship is a status in the spirit. So whatsoever is born of God is not a question of gender. It's a question of divine intentions. It's a matter of whatsoever. How do we describe a matured son? It is not necessarily whosoever, it is whatsoever. Because on this earth, true sons don't have gender. They have status. That status confers upon them their authority, their identity, their dominion. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is revelation. Listen to me. The way this thing works is that when these words are coming, you have to receive them in your spirit and begin to redefine yourself by these words. This is the difference between believers who are able to pray and manipulate the material realm and those who pray and hope that something would happen. In the spirit realm, there is always movement. Every time we go on our knees and we pray, there is always movement. The only way you can measure that movement is when you are in the spirit. Ah, my God. In Revelation chapter 4, John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And then he saw the heavens open and he heard the voice of God. The only way to accurately hear the voice of God and see into the realm of spirit is when you are in the spirit. And what does it mean when you are in the spirit? It means that when you are in a state where you are conscious of the presence of God, when you are conscious of the manifest presence of God, when you live under the authority of God's word, and when you raise God's word as a standard. Every time you respond to God's word, not as a burden, but as a requirement for your sonship status, you are in the spirit. Praise God. You are in the spirit. These things are very, you can now take that understanding, then place your hand upon your body and speak to your body, and it will begin to align. Listen to me. Everything created has intelligence. But for you to communicate with that particular element, to see movement, you must be a spiritual person. Excuse me. That was why Jesus rose up when there was a storm. He didn't bind the wind. He didn't go into 3 days fasting. He rebuked it. He rebuked it. It's just like you are in front of your house, or you just took a stroll out of your house and you saw maybe some dogs, you know, gathering in front of your compound, you, because they know that is not their territory, the moment you charge at them, they take off. He rebuked the wind, telling us that in this our kingdom, nature, the elements of nature, they answer to us. Praise God. They answer to us. Don't allow that doctor's report put you in bondage. Don't allow what they said to you put you in a corner and you are weeping. You are a son. You are a son in the house. You are a child of God. You've got what it takes. You've got to find the power, and it is locked up in your spirit. He said, I was in the spirit on the last day. Look at that scripture again. He said, whatsoever is born of God, every child of God, every child, everyone that is born of God, he is an overcomer. He said he is an overcomer. He overcometh this world system. And this instrument, the instrument of that victory, is our faith. Praise God. So when I read the word of God, when I study the word of God, I am looking for one element, the supply of faith. Hallelujah. Every time I look into the word of God, I am looking for just one thing, the supply of faith. Because faith will be supplied in the direction of the will of God. Faith will be supplied in the direction of the will of God. When I find that which is written concerning me, Jesus said when he got into the temple, when he found the book and he opened the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And then he turned to the people and said, look, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your ear. Listen to me, that day was not the first time Jesus was coming to read the scriptures. But that particular day was unique. Because he found where it was written. He found where it was written. He found where it was written concerning him. And the moment he found it, faith was supplied. Because faith will always come. Faith cometh by the hearing, and the hearing, and the hearing, and the hearing of God's word. So sometimes you're looking at the scripture, and it seems you can't find anything. Stay there. You have to stay there. Every time, me katolobora kasedia. Every katumbre ketea. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry. You open the scriptures. Don't be in a hurry. Librato setaya. When you open it, you sit down there. You look before you say, Holy Spirit, show me the mind of God today. Show me the mind. Don't approach the word of God like a carnal person. Don't approach the word of God like, okay, I read John chapter 4 yesterday. Let me read chapter 5 today. No. No, 1,000 times no. You have to approach the word of God with reverence. You have to approach the word of God with respect. This is the gateway into the realm of God. The word of God is that which supplies faith. The evidence that you have found it is that a token of faith will be supplied to you. The evidence that you have not found it is that faith will not be supplied. What that means is that the same Peter who ran away from a woman because he didn't want to deny Jesus, the same Peter will go into the temple and say to a man, silver and gold I have not, but that which I have I give to you. And the man rose up and was healed instantly. That is the supply of faith, because he found something. Peter, that was a very shy and timid person, the day the Holy Ghost came upon him, he rose up on his feet and said, in the presence of thousands of people, and he said, this is that which was spoken. This is that which was spoken. This is that which was spoken. And thousands of people, 3,000 people, came to Jesus that day. Praise God. Oh my God. Oh my God. We need to walk in the realms of revelation. We need to walk in the realms of revelation. That is where our strength, that is where our capacity is being released. I want to also read the book of Psalms, powerful scripture, and chapter 27. I'll just read a few verses here. Psalms chapter 27. I want you to follow me as I read. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Look at the words of a man that has encountered God. Look at the words of a man that has encountered God. He said, when the wicked, because you see, there are people who believe that there are no enemies. It's because you are not doing something that is meaningful. The day you start doing something that is meaningful, you will see opposition. In fact, one of the ways to know you are on the right path is when there are clear-cut oppositions. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, they came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and they fell. Oh my God. Did you see that? I'm reading verse 2. He said, they came up to eat my flesh. They came up with sickness. They came up with infirmities. They came up to swallow me up. They came up with spiritual attack. You slept, you woke up, and you started feeling all kinds of funny. So when they came up against me, he said they stumbled and they fell. Oh my God. He said, why? You now look at verse 2, then go back and read verse 1 again. He said, the Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. Look at the kind of confession. Look at the kind of declaration that this man was making. The Lord is my light. He's the one that lightens my path. He shows me revelation. He reveals knowledge to me. The Lord is my light. It is because of this light that I am not in the darkness. Praise God. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my illuminator. The Lord is the bringer of knowledge. He is my salvation. He knew that he was in the midst of enemies. But he also knew that as long as he was in the light, he would not be within the perimeter where he could be touched. He said, the Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. Who shall I be afraid? Who shall I be afraid of? Why shall I fear? Because in the realm of light, you have access to information. You have access to revelation. It takes away the fear factor. Many people who are born again are speaking in tongues, but they are best friends with the spirit of fear. They are believers who, their best friend, if they ask the spirit of fear, who's your best friend, he will mention their name. There are believers like that. They speak in tongues, so sometimes they fall under the anointing, but their best friend is the spirit of fear. Because they are not in the light. They are not in the light. He said, when we are in the light, as he is in the light. So it is possible for him to be in the light, and yet I am in darkness. 1 John says so. He said, if we abide in the light, as he is in the light, that means I have the responsibility to abide in the light. As he is in the light, he says, we are going to have koinonia. We are going to have fellowship. There's going to be an intercourse, a fellowship between you and God, between the divine and the brother or the sister listening to me now. There's going to be exchange of revelation. Your weakness will begin to give way for his strength. Because if you are in the light, as he is in the light, I'm talking about revelation knowledge. When you begin to think the way God thinks, when your thinking is fine-tuned by the word of God, when you begin to abide and build your life on the authority of scripture, when you dwell in the consciousness of light, when you dwell in the consciousness of light, when you go out every day knowing that you are a child of light and that your light dispels the darkness, when you know that you don't need to cry to God far away in heaven before he hears you, that inside of you is an overflowing reservoir of light, and that all you have to do is to open your mouth, because opening your mouth is the gateway through which that which is in your spirit is able to flow out. So when a believer is very quiet, he endangers his own reality. When a believer is quiet, he never responds to anything. He doesn't talk. He's always quiet. A loaded gun that is not firing is useless. It doesn't matter how gifted you are. In this realm, we reign by talking. We reign by talking. We exercise our dominion by talking. You cannot afford to be hoping that you are going to get what you want. You must live in the consciousness of light to such a degree that you are always talking. And if you have nothing to say and you are driving, open your mouth. Yetoba, lekara, rezutopa, yenetokolo. You begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Because the scripture says that every time I pray in tongues, it is my spirit that is praying. My spirit is in alignment with the Holy Ghost and declaring the accurate counsels of God. Hallelujah. So you cannot afford not to pray in tongues, because we are talking about light here. That guy said the reason why that my enemies fell down and stumbled is because they are in the darkness. But I am in the light. And darkness, darkness has not gotten to that junction where it will overcome the light. So your own responsibility is to stay in the light of God's word, is to stay in the light of his presence, is to engage with covenant forces in the kingdom that guarantee your dominion in life. It is not just a wish. Many believers are wishing, but they are actually playing. A lot of believers are hoping things will change around, but unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. If you want to walk from victory to victory, if you want to overcome the darkness that is in this world, listen to me, everything that we're doing, technology, everything, you just mentioned it, it is gravitating towards darkness. If anybody ever told you 20 years ago that in this very country, that in Nigeria, 20 years or 30 years ago, that you could have a TV, an internet phone, some kind of phone that equivalent to a TV in your hands, many people would have said it was not possible. Many people say it's not possible. Even in this day, you can have two devices and you call one particular line and the other device will also ring. And they have two different SIM cards. If anybody ever said to you, when GSM first came to Nigeria, that this was possible, you will say, I don't know. Let's even understand the one we have first. In the same vein, there are realities in the spirit that God has given to us. That things we have seen in the life of Jesus, things we have seen in the life of Elijah, things we have seen in the life of Moses, things that we saw in the life of Paul. And God said, this thing I have given to you. But somewhere in our mind, we have not grown and developed to that state where we can see these realities as our own experiences. So even God is now restrained. Because if God now decides to release that thing, the people that we call it evil will be Christians. Praise God. Don't pray in tongues again to waste time. Don't pray in tongues again to mark time. Pray in tongues because you are declaring the accurate counsels of God. Pray in tongues because you know every time you open your mouth and speak in tongues, the Spirit of God is finding expression in you. Open your mouth and pray in tongues. Don't pray like a carnal believer. Pray like somebody who has found great treasure. Listen to me. That thing on your lips, Jesus died for it to come. That tongues that you refuse to speak, that tongues that you cannot spend 1 hour, 2 hours speaking, is what Jesus died for, because he said, if I do not go, the Holy Ghost cannot come. So this is the reality of heaven. In the book of Isaiah, he said, with stammering tongues and lips, I will speak to these people. That means every time you pray in tongues and your lips are stammering, God says, listen closely, I'm talking to you. Because the scripture says, with stammering lips, I will speak to these people. It's in the book of Isaiah. That's the scriptural evidence in the Old Testament for tongues. He said, with stammering lips, I will speak to these people. So every time you pray in tongues consistently, you get to a point, illumination begins to come. Light begins to come. Understanding begins to come. You begin to move from a place of not knowing what to do to having to knowing what you're supposed to do. You want to make a decision, you just met this guy, and then you pray in tongues, and God just puts a word in your heart. Wait. That word wait just means that, look, you are going to see things. Wait. And then in 3 weeks, you begin to see certain character traits or character flaws in this person. I say, hey, Jesus, I'm out of this one. One thing that kills the ability to master the voice of God is this impatience. Because anyone who is impatient cannot master spiritual things. It's just like going to university today and trying to graduate the next day. No, you are going to do 4 years. You are going to do 5 years. In fact, if you're a doctor, you might do 6 years. And after that, you still go to medical school. In fact, if you are in Nigeria, we might even decide to bless you with ASUU strike and you stay for another 1 year. Or if you are even very unfortunate, 2 years. And then you use 6 years to study a 4-year course. And then we give you a certificate on paper. And just tell you, get out. You are a graduate now. And then you get out and they tell you, because you stay so long in school, you are not within the age bracket that companies can recruit. And then you go and start selling something by the main road. So listen to me. These are realities. The earlier we all start learning these things and getting used to them as our reality, the better for everybody. Because I can tell you for sure, all these spiritual disciplines One day they will save your life. One day they will save your life. When Paul was put in prison, they locked his hands and they locked his legs, but they couldn't lock his lips. And the scripture says in the midnight, when it was midnight, he began to shake the thing and began to praise God and began to pray. Say the Paul and Silas, they prayed and they sang. They prayed, they sang. And out of nowhere, Paul was not expecting it. He didn't know it was going to happen. Silas wasn't expecting it. They didn't know it was going to happen. There was an earthquake. Oh my God. I long for those days again in the church, in this country, where God will announce our meetings with signs in the heavens. God will announce our meetings, our gatherings with evidences. People will see angelic beings literally coming down into our meetings. People will see diverse manifestations. There is a strange church in this city where there are diverse manifestations, where angels come to church, the way human beings come to church. The scripture says that there was a rattling, there was thunder and lightning, and the prison doors were shattered, were broken. The prison was uprooted from the foundations, and the jailer even tried to kill himself. That singular manifestation led to the salvation of that jailer's life, that jailer. It led to the salvation of his family, and it led to the freedom of Paul. Listen to me. These are the days of higher manifestations. As we come to the close of the age, God will bring many souls to Christ. He will draw many men to him. He will draw many men who have never encountered Christ from every country, from every continent, in Europe, in Asia, in America, in Africa. They will come. But they will only come to the rising of your light. They will only come to the brightness of your coming. They will only come to the level of knowledge that is above their own. Praise God. They will only come when they come to you and they say, oh, this girl is a pretty girl. They expect you to live in a particular way, only for them to find that, no, you are living by higher standards. They will only come. They will only come. They will only come when they see the brightness of your glory. And they see that, my God, there is something about this person. And then they come into your space and they find the glory of God there. Praise God. Praise God. There was a reason why Daniel was desired. There was a reason why Joseph was desired. There was a reason why Isaiah could survive four kings. Listen to me. The days of victory is here upon us. And the scripture is telling us here. He said, we have been called to overcome the darkness. We have been called to overcome the ignorance. We have been called to overcome the rottenness in the system. Only as we arise in the light of God. Praise God forevermore. It is only in the light of God that we can see a challenge that is clearly a challenge after the flesh. And we will, in the spirit, we will see the expiry date. And then people wonder why you are sleeping. Because according to Psalm chapter 27, he said, the Lord is my light and he is my salvation. Who shall I fear? Therefore, when the wicked and my enemies come, in verse 2, and they come to eat my flesh, they will stumble. They will stumble and they will fall. They will stumble, they will fall. They will stumble. That is God's word of assurance to you. He said they will stumble as long as you are in my light, as long as I am your salvation, as long as you don't have any other thing, any other person, any other thing you are hiding somewhere, any other money in your bank that you are depending on, any other false system of security that you are depending on. As long as the Almighty God is your salvation and you can boldly declare it before anybody that the Lord is the one that I look up to, he said, when they come, they will stumble. He said, when they come, they will fall. He said, when they come, they will stumble. When they come, they will fall. This is a word of assurance. He said, when the wicked, even my enemies, when they came to eat up my flesh, they came as witches in the night. They came as powers of the darkness. He said they stumbled. Because when they came, the light was manifested. The light revealed their weakness. The light will reveal their weakness. The light in you will reveal their weakness. The light in you will reveal their weakness. The light in you will reveal their weakness. Only if you begin to relate and with that light of God, that light of God's word in your spirit. This is no story. This is what our fathers, this is what Peter, this is what Paul, this is what Yonggi Cho, this is what all our fathers saw. They saw something and they walked in it. They're not just men, even the women. Maria Woodward Etta, MacPherson, oh, is it Catherine Kuhlman? Many, many powerful people, even some were not pastors, but they discovered this light. They discovered, just like Jesus, found where it was written. And they said, he said, this day the word is fulfilled in your ears. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. Jesus, nobody ever made that statement since the day Isaiah wrote that thing. But someone came and he found it and said, oh, this is me here. This is me. I have found myself. God did not say, oh, because Jesus is his son, automatic promotion. No. Jesus had the responsibility to find his destiny. The same way you have a responsibility to find your path. Jesus had the responsibility to look in the scriptures. Even though he is the word of God, he had to look in the scriptures to find the scriptural background for his ministry. To find the scriptural background for his assignment. How come you think you can find your purpose in life by listening to motivational speeches? How come you think you can find your husband by listening to relationship talk? You find it in the word of God. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and every other thing, including your wife, including your husband, including that job, including that business contract, shall be added. Those ones are additions. Give yourself to the task of the gospel. Give yourself to the task of sowing, to the task of evangelism, to the task of intercession, to the task of loving God and abiding in his presence. Give your task to what God is interested in. He said all these things, God doesn't see them as important. He just calls them other things. He said, I will add them to you. He said, I will add them to you. I don't know why I'm talking to you. He said, I will add them to you. He said, I will add them to you. He said, I will add them to you. Praise God. He said, I will add them to you. In that land you have found yourself, he said, I will add them to you. Oh my God. He said, if you stay with me and you walk in the light and you follow my instructions, he said, I will add them to you. He said, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. That means that my location can never be a limitation to my blessings. My location can never be a limitation to what God can do in my life. My location can never be a limiting factor. As long as I am in the light, as long as I'm operating under divine instruction, as long as I'm living under the authority of God's word. Oh my God, oh my God. He said, these things I'll give them to you as additions. Hallelujah. Look at what he said in verse 3. Psalm chapter 27, verse 3. He said, even though an host should encamp around against me, he said, my heart will not fear. This is Psalm chapter 27, verse 3. He said, my heart will not fear. He said, though war, like Iraq and US now, though war should rise against me, he said, in this will I be confident. In this, that means, when you are going through stuff, when you are going through difficult situation, God is looking for where your confidence is. God is looking for where your resolution is. What are you saying about this thing? You are going through a challenge in your office. Okay, we have seen the problem, but what are you saying? Do you see a solution here? Do you see your lifting here? Look at what he said. He said, in this will I be confident. And one thing we have I desired of the Lord, and that is what I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Look, like, this guy talking here is a king. This guy speaking here has kingdoms. This guy talking here is a warrior. But he said, even the kingdom means nothing to me. That I desire God's presence more than any of these things. David used to live in the bush. And he loved God. There are people now, if they go through a challenge, you will not even see them close to, you will not see them in church, not even talk of in God's presence. You will not see them again. There are people that, you see, as long as your relationship with God depends on how he's taking care of you, how he's being nice to you, he's doing a chairman, what's the other thing they do on Instagram? Chairman, do give away. As long as your faith is a chairman, do give away. Thank God it's Friday arrangement. That kind of person will always be stranded, because even God will not be able to trust such a person. As long as your relationship with God is tied to what he's doing for you alone, you will remain a baby. But the day God needs somebody to send to London or Germany or somewhere to go and do something serious, the day God is looking for someone to bless, they will not be sure, because even the small blessing we gave you, you are not even showing up in church again. He said this thing, this is a king talking here. He said, the only desire I have in my life is to only be in God's presence. That's the only desire. All this kingdom, you can take it. I just give me this Jesus. Leave the rest. He said, to behold the beauty of the Lord. This guy wants to experience the manifest presence of God. You see, let me tell you something. You see why this guy is operating in light? Do you see why this guy could now say, the Lord is my light and my salvation? Because he dwells in the presence of God. Make room. I want to challenge you as we round up tonight. Make and take a deliberate step towards making room for the presence of God in your life. Don't just rush out. Even when you are watching a film or listening to the news, take a deliberate step. Let your heart always rest on the Lord. Don't let your heart be far away. There are people that the only time they think about God is when they are praying. After that, they forget about Him throughout the day. You can change that, because that is one way to carry God's presence, you know, subconsciously, all through the day. These things can change with one simple decision from you. And I want to encourage you to make that decision. Today is a very unique day, and I want you to make that decision today, that you are going to take deliberate steps and make a decision tonight that you will make room for the Lord, that you will prioritize Him. Even when you get up and you are going to brush your teeth, let your mind be thinking about Him. Let your mind be singing a song. Let your mind be meditating on the scripture. Yes, it's good to pray, but after the prayer, what else? You need to let your heart be with Him. When you love somebody, let your heart be with that person. Praise God. He said that this is one thing. I only have one desire. And listen to me. In scripture later, we are told, Jesus will say to that young lady, He said, only one thing is needful. He said, only one thing is needful. Only one thing is needful. And today I present you that one thing. Psalms chapter 27 and verse 4. To dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. And to behold His face in His temple. To behold His beauty. And to inquire at the temple. If you spend your time inquiring the will of God in the temple, when you come to services or when you are in the presence of the Lord, you are praying at home, you won't have time to be asking unbelievers for advice. You won't have that time. Because you've already put the matter before the Almighty God. Somebody that needs to give his life to Christ. Yeah, come on, you think about it. You think about it. You think about it. There's a particular brother in Kaduna. Was it Kaduna or Kano? He had given his life to Christ. And when he gave his life to Christ, his family rose up against him. Because they were from very strong Islamic communities. He was from a strong, and he was married. He had like maybe two wives or so. But he had an encounter, and he started going to deeper life. One thing the Lord did for him, when he became a Christian, God released to him the spirit of prayer. There are some people that want the anointing to preach. It will not help you. What you need is the power to pray. You know this one now, nobody likes that one, because you want to be on the stage. I am telling you the secret. If you want anything you are doing publicly to have weight, you must desire the grace of prayer. And I don't know who this is for, but this is something somebody needs to hear. So this brother started praying. As he was praying, the second wife moved out of the house. Said she can't stay with him again, that he has converted to Christianity. And he started praying. He was going to church, learning the scriptures in the Deeper Life Church. He was learning, he was praying, he was always praying. So one day they sent the eldest person in the family to go back and bring him back to his sanity. That this guy is mad. He has lost his mind. And the eldest person, is someone everybody fears in the family. So he came to his house, knocked on his door, and looked at him in the face and said, is it true that you have left the faith? Have you left Islam and gone to Christianity? The brother was, concerned. He could not answer him. So he told the man to wait. And he went back into his room. Kaprateko, kiata, kashaba, likabad. And prayed for 1 hour. The moment he came back to the parlor, he said, Uncle, you are welcome. Touched the man on the shoulder. The man fainted, fell under the anointing. Fell under the power of God, arrested him. You don't answer your enemy in the flesh. You must first locate the power within your spirit. The moment you notice there's a fear in your heart, retreat. Go back into your spiritual shell and recharge. Then come back again. Oh my God, I wish somebody heard that one. Every time you are engaging something and you notice your heart is afraid, just withdraw spiritually. Withdraw in your heart. Go back, recharge, then come out again. Don't engage the enemy with fear, because he will sense it. That man rose up from the ground and ran away, and they never came back to that man's house again. There's power on your inside. What you know matters. The light of God's word that is in your spirit matters. Tonight I pray in the name of Jesus. As many of you that can hear my voice, there will be an outbreak of light in your spirit. There's going to be an outbreak of light in the name of Jesus. that the light of God will become very intense. The glory of God become very intense. That the revelation of the word of God will become very intense. That the salvation of the Lord will become very dominant in your spirit. That you begin to walk in the light based on revelation knowledge. That you will no more operate in the flesh, but that you will be guided by the voice and the leading of the Holy Spirit. I pray for everyone that is connected right now, that the Lord, through the instrument of this word, will begin to minister to you in such a profound and powerful way. And you are going to begin to see results in the name of Jesus. And on the strength of this word you have heard tonight, every negative doctor's report is destroyed. Every negative doctor's report is destroyed. Because we speak in light and sickness is darkness. Every token of poverty is consumed. Because we speak in light and poverty is in darkness. And in this same token, every setback is now destroyed completely. Because we speak in light and setbacks are darkness. And I declare you are free, and I command your liberty tonight on the strength of this word. And you will have clear evidence and clear testimonies. For faithful is he who has called us, who also will do it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.